And now, Ben Bailey.
Jesus said in John chapter 6, I am the living bread. I am the water of life. You come to me, you'll never thirst, you'll never hunger. Well, in verse 3, we learn that Jesus, the rock that followed them, or the cloud and the rock, He was that spiritual food and spiritual drink that they had also. And so He's showing them that these people are a lot like you. They were baptized. They found sustenance in Christ, although they themselves may not have known that. And notice what He says about these same people. He's going to say, these people serve as an example to us of how we must not do certain things or we'll be lost. Well, what did they do? We learn from verse 6. They lusted after evil things. My friends, these people were a very lustful people. They had physical lust and passions and desires, and the evil things of the people around them they allowed to cause them to be a part of. Their desires were so strong that they left God, quit running the race, and got involved in sin. Friends, we can do the same thing today if we're not careful. How many people are going to be lost today because they let a fleshly lust lead them off the path of righteousness? Here's what Peter says in 1 Peter 2, verse 11. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. I've got to realize that my flesh is not what leads me. My passions, my desires, my wants in this life cannot control me. John said, all that is in the world, lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but of the evil one. And he who does that, he's going to pass away and be lost. What else did these people do? They became idolaters. Verse 7, they got involved in idolatry like some of the nations around them. They started worshiping false gods and looking up to false gods. You remember the account, Exodus chapter 20. Moses is up receiving the Ten Commandments a little later. He stays up there too long. The people began to think, and so they decide to make themselves a god. Aaron takes up their gold. They, in essence, they say, well, we threw it in the fire and it just jumped out. They made themselves an image and began to worship it as God. Now, someone says, well, I'm not going to do that. And Christians, you're surely not doing that today. Can we not, though, become idolaters? Anything, listen carefully, anything in your life that takes first place over God becomes your idol. That's why John warned in 1 John chapter 5, toward the end of the chapter, little children, beware. Make sure that we don't get involved in idolatry. He's not talking about worshiping other gods necessarily. That would be implied as well. But the idea is that anything, whether it be the almighty dollar, whether it be our job, whether it be our family, whether it be some hobby I have, anything that comes before Christ takes first place in my life can become my idol. He then warns them, like the people there, you must make sure you don't get involved in sexual immorality. Some of these people got involved in sexual immorality, and a great multitude of them died because of it. There were immoral people during that time. Immoral sexual people, the religions around them, the beliefs of people in the nations around them was that you need to practice sexual morality as a way to worship some of these deities we have. They got involved in that. They had problems inside the camp. Friends, we need to be careful today, lest because of sexual immorality, we are caused to leave Christ. Hebrews 13:4 says this, marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God says, I will judge. You cannot live in fornication, live in adultery, be caught or found or be practicing immoral sexual acts and think you're going to be okay. God, even if nobody else knows, God knows. Hebrews 4 verse 13 says, all things are open and naked before the eyes of Him with whom we must give an account. Paul said to those in Corinth, such were some of you, sexually immoral, sodomites, homosexuals, fornicators, such were some of you, but you were washed. When I become a Christian, I obey the gospel, I've got to turn away from that. If not, I can be lost. Now, what else do these people do? They tempted Christ and they complained. My friend, when we don't trust God, when we put ourselves in places of authority where we don't belong, as some of them did, when we defy the will of God and we begin to complain, then we leave the straight and narrow path. Someone says, I can't believe these people complain. Look at all that God did. They saw the plagues. They saw the Nile turn to blood. They saw the Red Sea open up and walk through on dry ground. How could they complain? Exodus chapter 16 and 17 teaches us they did exactly that. They complained and murmured, and because of that, they wandered for 40 years until everyone 20 years or above perished at that time. Someone says, how could they do that? How can we do that? How can we today complain also when we have so much more than they did? Hebrews chapter 2 teaches us that we cannot neglect the great salvation which we have now, which they did not have. We have the full mystery revealed. We have all the knowledge of God that we need. God's plan of salvation is sending His Son has come down to us. How can we complain? But Paul says in Philippians 2 verses 14 and 15, complaining and murmuring is not something God wants us to do. We're to make sure that we don't complain and murmur against God and His ways. We need to learn this. We need to learn, as Paul did in Philippians 3, to be content in whatever state we're in. These people, my friends, serve as our examples, and here's the way they serve that. I want you to notice 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. In verse 11, he's going to say, now these people are your examples. As Romans 15:4 teaches, things were written aforetime, were written for our learning. Well, what are these people an example of? Notice verse 12. Paul says, therefore, since all these things happened to God's people who were baptized into Moses, who had sustenance found in Jesus, who were provided for by God, since all these things happened to them, look how they represent not only God's people then, but in a picture, you in some ways. He says, look what can happen. They're an example of this. How that if we're not careful, as God's children, we can be lost and go to hell. Notice verse 12. Paul says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Friend, the idea and the teaching of some today that a child of God can never be lost is a damnable doctrine that's going to lead people to hell. This chapter overwhelmingly shows that God's children in the Old Testament violated His will. They got involved in sin and they were lost. They were destroyed by the destroyer, the text says. Now, my friends, if that happened to them, and we've got to give the more earnest heed lest we fall away, Hebrews 2 verses 1 through 4, how could anyone ever say a child of God can never be lost? The Bible overwhelmingly says they can. Galatians 5 verse 4, Paul said, you who are trying to attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. You've become severed from Christ. We say, religious world says, you can't fall from grace. You know what God said? Christians already had fallen from grace in the first century. They'd become cut off from Christ. Acts chapter 8, verses 20 through 22, Simon obeys the gospel. He sees that by the laying on of the apostles' hands, the gift of miracles is given. He could pass that on. He sees dollar signs in his mind, probably. And so he tries to buy that gift. And Peter said, your heart's not right with God. Your money, listen now, perish with you. What was going to perish? Simon was going to be lost. Revelation 3, verses 4 and 5, Jesus said that some would have their names written out of the book of life if they are taken out of the book of life if they weren't careful. And friends, if there's ever a text that teaches a son or a daughter of God can be lost, it's Luke 15. Think about the prodigal son. He was the son of the father. The father represents God. The son represents one of his children, likely Israel. That son went away into a far land, squandered his livelihood, was down in the mire and the muck with the pigs, and until he decided to come back, he was lost in that state, although he was a child of God. My friends, it's true and it's correct that we can be lost, but God doesn't want us to. And that's why we have 1 Corinthians 10, I believe verse 13. Is temptation going to rise? Are there going to be struggles? Is the lust of the flesh sometimes going to feel very powerful? Sure it is. But look at verse 13. Here's the help we have. God doesn't want us to be lost. Notice what Paul says. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, friends, temptation is true. It's something we all have to face. We're tempted. Jesus was tempted. Matthew chapter 4. But no temptation, realize this and understand this, I believe will help you 100%. Understanding that no temptation has occurred except such as common to other people. I'm not the only one who suffered that. And realizing that God, the faithful God, will give us the way of escape, my friends, gives me great strength. I'm not the only one who's ever suffered this, and God makes it possible for me to deal with that suffering. Well, how does He make me make it possible? Hebrews 4, verse 15. By the example of Jesus, He was tempted in all points as we are. Hebrews 2, verse 17 says, God gives us aid and help in time of need. How? by prayer. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, we can cast all our cares upon Him. By, again, the example of Christ. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. By the all-powerful Word of God. Hebrews 4, verse 12. By the encouragement and fellowship of other Christians. My friends, God has given us everything we need to overcome temptation. There's no reason for us to be like those people and be lost. We can deal with it. But here's one of the ways we can do that. I believe verse 31 sets up the stage for how a Christian can make sure that he doesn't fall into sin and get lost, that he does endure temptation. Notice what Paul says in verse 31. Look at these beautiful words. Therefore, whether you eat or whether you drink, do all to the glory of God. How can I take heed to myself lest I fall? Do everything in your life with one mindset, with one overarching umbrella above everything you do. I want to glorify God with my life. Friend, if your life's goal is to glorify God, you're going to have so much an easier path to walk in this life. I'm not worried about self. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, you've got to deny yourself. I'm not living for the lust of flesh. I'm living for the Lord. Realize your purpose in being on this earth is to glorify God. Isaiah 43, verse 7, God said, everyone who's called by my name, whom I created for my glory. I've formed him. Yes, I've made him. Why was I made? Why were you made? Why are we here on this earth? I'm here to glorify God. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14 is a powerful passage that teaches us the purpose in life. What's life all about? Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. What is? To fear God, to reverence Him, and keep His commandments. Why? God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. We need to make sure our goal is to seek first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6 and verse 33. Friend, as we think about examining our own life, we ask you today, won't you examine your life? Won't you look inside yourself and make sure, first of all, that you are a child of God? Are you a Christian? If not, you can become one today by obeying the gospel. Do you believe that Jesus is God's Son? John 8, verse 24. Are you willing to repent of sin? Luke chapter 13, verse 3. Would you confess the Savior, Jesus Christ, as the Son of God and Savior? Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33. And won't you do what Jesus said? He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Acts 2, verse 38. But maybe as a child of God, you know that you're not on a straight and narrow path. How thankful to God you ought to be. You've been afforded another opportunity to make it right. You need to repent before it's everlastingly late. Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. And may each one of us do as Paul did and do as he encouraged Christians. Therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall.